And we finish now by hearing another perspective of what's been achieved so far in eLife's history from another of the journal's deputy editors, who wants to stress why, in her view, eLife is a move back to the future.
My name is Eve Marder, and I'm a professor in the biology department and neuroscience program at Brandeis University. When I was a young scientist, papers were intended to be complete and full descriptions of a piece of work, and to lay out the data, lay out the controls, lay out the methods, and then to allow the authors to articulate what they thought the work meant. And over the years, a lot of that became lost as people pushed for publications of higher and higher impact to the detriment of clarity, thoroughness, and to my mind, eLife is a way of going not back to the past, but forward to the future. We can write papers the way they should be written.
And do you think that's happening?
I think that's happening, not perfectly. Many of the papers we publish are papers that I'm very proud of, papers that have enough depth, enough scope, enough clarity, that they allow the reader to really see what the important findings are and how the work was done.
How is eLife competing with other journals, though, that still do subscribe to what science publishing had become, with people submitting papers and then being given another five PhDs worth of experiments to do before they get their paper revisited?
Many eLife papers are quite substantial. So it's not that other journals are publishing more substantial papers, but eLife refuses to send authors back for 6 or 9 months or 2 years of work. We basically follow the policy that authors should send the paper when they consider it done. And then we have trying to evaluate it as it is. And so we might ask for minor modifications or a small bit of additional work if, for example, a reviewer says that a specific figure has too much noise in the recording, or someone thinks that a Western blot is fuzzy. We might ask them to redo something like that. But we will not provisionally accept a paper and ask them for 9 months worth of work, because we think it's really unfair to the young scientists who are doing the work to stretch out their careers and leave them in scientific limbo for a very long time.
How are you doing that, though, without potentially compromising on the quality?
It's very simple. I'd like to tell you a little anecdote that tells you the difference between eLife and what's happened to a lot of other publishing. Very early on in eLife, we sent a paper to a young man who's a very fine scientist. He was a beginning assistant professor, and he reviewed the paper, and he listed 6 or 8 experiments that should be done, probably a year's worth of work. And in the consultation session, I pointed out to him that we were trying to avoid doing that. So I asked him whether those experiments were necessary to support the point of the paper. And he said, "Oh, no, I just thought the job of a reviewer was always to suggest more experiments." And so what we do, if experiments are really necessary to prove the point of the paper and they would take 6 months, we reject the paper. And we tell the authors that they are free to take the paper elsewhere. They're free to do the experiments and maybe resubmit it to us or elsewhere. But basically, we don't play those sorts of games with authors.
When you say to colleagues who are suggesting to you that they might have some work they want to publish, and you say, "What about eLife?" Have you noticed that people react differently now compared with, say, 5 years ago when things were just getting going?
Oh, absolutely. I've noticed something else which is really important. Now when I go to seminars or a conference, oftentimes you see people showing slides where the work was from an eLife paper. I have some very, very prestigious scientists now are routinely citing work that they have published in eLife. So I feel like we've really crossed a very important threshold.
Where are you going next? What's going to be the sort of strategic direction for the next 5 years? You've honed down the peer review process. That seems to be bearing fruit. You're attracting some very high caliber publications. You always have, but the numbers are definitely going up. What are you targeting next?
We're hoping to grow in certain areas. eLife has been more successful at attracting the best papers in sub-subfields of biology than in others. I feel like we've grown eLife tremendously in the past 5 years, and that we've done it gradually enough so that we haven't lost the essential eLife ethos.
Eve Marder. And that's it for this episode. You've been listening to the eLife podcast, previous editions of which are also on eLife's website, that's elifesciences.org, or you can subscribe via iTunes. This is a Naked Scientist production. I'm Chris Smith, and you can find out more about what we do on our website at nakedscientist.com. I shall be back next month to take a look at how monkeys armed with tools are wiping out marine life and why science papers are getting harder to read. But not in eLife, of course.